Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Today, we open our show with news about a potential political shakeup in San Diego's congressional delegation. A federal grand jury has been convened and issued a subpoena regarding the criminal investigation into Congressman Duncan Hunter's alleged personal use of campaign funds, raising the potential for an indictment casting a shadow over his reelection campaign. Meanwhile, Congressman Darrell Issa has announced that he won't seek reelection, opening up a battleground in the 49th District, where Democrats hope to pick up a seat in their effort to regain control of the House. A California judge has issued an injunction temporarily protecting Dreamers from deportation, while Congress and the president continue to haggle over efforts to provide permanent protection for these young immigrants. Flu cases have dropped, the County Health Department reports. But we have a health warning regarding an E. coli outbreak believed linked to romaine lettuce. On People Power, hear about a family of 20 in El Cajon that suffered damage in a fire, including a van needed to transport disabled children, and how firefighters have launched a fundraising drive to help them. Grossmont Healthcare District is seeking nominations for its annual Healthcare Hero Awards. On Green Scene, we'll tell you about the Trump administration exempting Florida from offshore drilling that might have negatively impacted the president's Mar-a-Lago estate, and why governors of other tourism-dependent states, including California, believe that their states should also be exempted. Speaking of beaches, County Public Health is warning people not to go in the ocean here after the storms due to contaminated runoff. San Diego supervisors have appointed a new chair, and we'll have details. Plus, hear why flying the friendly skies may not be so friendly after all, due to sexual harassment claims being made by women passengers. San Diego State has some big news stories on the horizon in the new year, and you can learn more on today's show. Our radio show is looking for volunteers, so stay tuned to hear how you can get involved and gain experience in broadcasting, script writing, or sound editing. On Crime Beat, hear more about a murder-suicide in Ramona. And then on Destination East County, learn about some special happenings coming up in our inland region, from fishing events to hawk watching, concerts, plays, Martin Luther King Day events, and more. And finally, on Vines and Wines, learn why our region's winemaking industry is packing a potent economic punch. So stay tuned for all of these stories on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with a Capitol Report. A federal grand jury has subpoenaed documents from a local business as part of a criminal investigation into Congressman Duncan Hunter's campaign finances. The San Diego Union-Tribune's award-winning journalist Morgan Cook reports that the grand jury in San Diego will hear evidence and testimony from a witness ordered to appear later this month. Potentially, the grand jury could issue one or more criminal indictments, casting a pall over Hunter's effort to win a primary race in June and re-election to Congress in November. The article does not identify the witness or the company named in the document, which it published with names blacked out. But the Union Tribune reports that Hunter's campaign spent thousands of dollars at the business in the 2012 and 2014 election cycles. The subpoena reveals that the company has been ordered to turn over documents including signed receipts, event contracts, reservation and booking details, information on guests, photographs, social media posts, and all communications related to six specific transactions in 2012, including expenditures made by Hunter, his wife and former campaign manager Margaret, and his then campaign treasurer Bruce Young. Also requested were records dating back through 2009. Now, significantly, that's long before the 2016 campaign cycle that prompted the Justice Department investigation into allegations that Hunter used campaign funds illegally for lavish personal expenses, including a family vacation in Italy, plane fare for a pet rabbit belonging to Hunter's son, video games, oral surgery bills, jewelry, and tuition at his children's school. Hunter has denied wrongdoing, but did take out a loan to repay his campaign over $60,000. Shortly before the grand jury revelations, Hunter made TV appearances in which he slammed the nation's top law enforcement agencies, the FBI and the Justice Department, for probes involving President Donald Trump campaign ties to Russia, as well as the investigation into Hunter's own campaign finance issues. Hunter has suggested that the Trump probe could be, quote, illegal and even treasonous, despite the fact that Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller's investigation of Trump has already led to guilty pleas and indictments of several key Trump allies. George Papadopoulos, the foreign policy advisor to Trump's campaign, pled guilty to criminal charges pertaining to his dealings with Russian foreign nationals. Former National Security Advisor and retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn pled guilty to lying to the FBI about his back-channel talks with Russia's ambassador in efforts to influence U.S. policies on sanctions against Russia. Trump's former campaign manager Paul Manafort and his business associate Rick Gates have been arrested and indicted on felony charges including conspiracy against the U.S., failing to register as foreign agents, making false statements to federal investigators, tax fraud, and laundering millions of dollars through offshore accounts for clients in the Ukraine, including former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych, an ally of Russian dictator Vladimir Putin. Despite all of this, Congressman Hunter, in an interview aired on KUSI, has called the Justice Department biased, and he's complained about the length of time it's been taking to resolve his own case. He says, there's no oversight, and they can ruin your life and take you down if they feel like it. And he added, so let's just get it over with. Unless the Justice Department announces that it has cleared Hunter by the primary, the investigation and the specter of a possible criminal indictment could jeopardize the Republicans' control of the 50th Congressional District seat, despite the heavy GOP tilt in what ordinarily would be considered a safe seat for the Republican Party. Two well-funded Democrats, former Navy SEAL Josh Buettner and former Obama administration official Amar Kampanijar, who is also a former Chamber of Commerce official, are vying for the seat. Several Republicans have also thrown their hats into the ring, including Sheriff Commander Andrew Zelt, business owner Seamus Syed, and attorney Joshua Schoonover. There is also speculation that Congressman Daryl Issa, who just announced he will not seek re-election to his 49th district seat, may run in the 50th district if Congressman Hunter resigns, although so far, Hunter has adamantly said he has no intention of doing so. We asked Congressman Hunter's Deputy Chief of Staff Mike Harrison for comments for this story, but we did not receive a response.
This is John Fastier. San Diego's Republican Congressman Daryl Issa announced Wednesday that he will retire at the end of his term, creating an open seat in the 49th Congressional District for the first time in 18 years. The action sets the stage for a battleground in the November election. Since the 49th is considered a swing district that Democrats hope to capture in their effort to retake control of Congress. Issa won his re-election in 2016 by only 1,651 votes, the narrowest margin of any congressional district in the nation. So far, four Democrats have announced plans to run for the seat, including retired Marine Colonel Douglas Applegate, Sarah Jacob, who has worked for the U.S. State Department, UNICEF and the United Nations, businessman Paul Kerr, and environmental attorney Mike Levin. The first Republican to throw his hat in the ring is patent attorney Joshua Schoonover, who calls himself a conservative, and Assembly member Rocky Chavez. But political operatives locally have suggested several other candidates, including supervisors Kristen Gaspar and Bill Horn, Scott Baugh, a former GOP chairman in Orange County, and Diane Harkey, member of the State Board of Equalization. Issa, who is 64, said he made the decision to retire with the support of his family. He voiced gratitude to constituents and said he has been most honored to represent Marines and sailors of Camp Pendleton and their families. Issa said after retirement, he will continue to advocate for causes he believes are important, including, quote, advancing public policy where I believe I can make a true and lasting difference. Founder of a car alarm business, Issa first won election in 2000 and has long been the wealthiest man in Congress. He rose to chair the powerful House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, where he led investigations into the Obama administration, including the fast and furious matter that resulted in a House vote of contempt against Attorney General Eric Holder, as well as probes of Benghazi and other issues. In his retirement announcement, ISA cited among his accomplishments strengthening government accountability, improving intellectual property protections to stop piracy, ending congressional earmarks, and strengthening the Violence Against Women Act. His tenure was not without controversy. In 2012, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW, named ISA among its list of most corrupt members of Congress. According to CREW, ISA illegally disclosed information from a sealed wiretap in the Fast and Furious investigation, then hid behind his constitutional protections as a member of Congress to avoid the consequences. ISA weathered that controversy and won re-election, but with reapportionment that had made his district nearly equally split between Republicans and Democrats, and with President Trump drawing low approval ratings in numerous national polls, ISA could well have faced ouster by voters had he sought re-election. ISA is among many prominent Republicans who have recently announced plans to retire rather than risk being swept out of office on anti-Trump coattails. Others who have announced retirement plans include Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, and Orange County, California Congressman Ed Royce. The race to replace ISA is expected to be well-funded, as Republicans aim to hold on to the seat and Democrats pour money in at a national level, with help from billionaire Tom Steyer, who has pledged healthy sums to help California Democrat take back seats in Congress. The stakes are high. Democrats are expected to take back control of the U.S. Senate, where they are currently down by only 2 seats. Should they succeed in also regaining a majority in the House, Democrats would have the power to block President Trump's legislative agenda and potentially impeach the president.
A California court has issued a nationwide injunction to temporarily protect Dreamers, or young people brought here as children of undocumented immigrants, before a Trump administration order forces them to be deported. President Trump has issued an executive order to roll back DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals executive order issued by Barack Obama, but gave Congress 6 months to protect them. Congress is grappling with legislation that could permanently protect the Dreamers, but the clock is ticking. President Trump has indicated he is open to a bill to protect the Dreamers, but only if it also includes funding for a border wall. While Democrats and some Republicans support protection for Dreamers, hardliners in the Republican Party oppose it, and is unclear whether Democrats would back billions to build a border wall. But now the District Court in Northern California has issued a preliminary, nationwide injunction to block Trump's rollback of DACA, while a lawsuit works its way through the courts. The case was filed by California Attorney General Becerra and the University of California, joined by the Attorneys General for Maine, Maryland, and Minnesota, as well as individual Dreamers and other plaintiffs. The court determined that the merits of California's case are strong, that there would be immediate harm if the administration's plan to terminate DACA were to proceed, and that the public interest is served by prohibiting the administration from ending DACA before the legal issues are ruled on. Attorney General Becerra states, "Dreamers' lives were thrown into chaos when the Trump administration tried to terminate the DACA program without obeying the law." He adds, "America is and has been home to Dreamers who courageously came forward, applied for DACA, and did everything the federal government asked of them. They followed DACA's rules, they succeeded in school, at work, and in business, and they have contributed in building a better America. We will fight at every turn for their rights and opportunities, so they may continue to contribute to America." In a motion filed last November seeking this injunction, Attorney General Becerra argued that the federal government violated the U.S. Constitution and federal laws designed to ensure that our government treats everyone fairly and transparently. California and the other plaintiffs in this action have emphasized that terminating the program is causing harm to DACA recipients as well as the states and communities in which they live. Earlier in July, Becerra led 20 attorneys general in sending a letter to President Trump, urging him to maintain and defend DACA. In the letter, the attorneys general explained how DACA has benefited their states and the nation. They called on Trump to fulfill his public commitment to the Dreamers, whom he previously called incredible kids, who should be treated with heart. All 20 of the signatories to this letter have since joined lawsuits challenging the Trump administration's rescission of DACA. Roughly a quarter of all DACA grantees, more than 200,000 young people, live in California, and many of those are in San Diego County. So the court's decision will have a big impact on many local students, workers, and their families, as well as area schools and businesses. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Krajaya Broaddus.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
This is Gene Carpenter with information on how you can help bring more resources to assist homeless people in our region. The annual point-in-time count of homeless people locally will be held the morning of January 26th, organized by the San Diego Regional Task Force on the Homeless. Volunteers are needed for the count and interviews of homeless people and families across San Diego County, including the following communities in East County: Alpine, El Cajon, La Mesa, Lemon Grove, Santee, Spring Valley, and Ramona. An accurate count is important, helping to secure federal funds to assist homeless people, including those living on the streets, in tents, or in their vehicles. All volunteers must complete an online training course before the January 26th count. You can sign up to volunteer at the Regional Task Force on the Homeless, San Diego's website at rtfhsd.org, or call 858-292-7627.
County supervisors this week opted against declaring a public health emergency over the flu outbreak, although 46 more people died last week of the flu, bringing the season total to 91 flu deaths. The number of new flu cases reported last week dropped to just under 3,000 cases. That's down from 3,354 cases the prior week. Flu cases accounted for 11% of all emergency room visits over the past week countywide, down from 13% the week before. County health officials advise that it's not too late to get a flu shot, which can be obtained at doctor's offices and pharmacies. For those without medical insurance, vaccinations are available at county public health centers. For a list of locations, you can visit sdiz.org or call 211. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Meridian Broaddus.
This is Valerie Watts with a Consumer Health Advisory. An E. coli outbreak that has sickened 58 people in Canada and the U.S., including patients in California, is likely tied to consumption of romaine lettuce. At least one patient has died, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control reports. Canadian health officials have warned the public not to eat romaine lettuce. But so far, U.S. health officials have not yet issued such an advisory, even though the strain of E. coli found in American patients is similar to that found in the Canadian outbreak. However, Consumer Reports has issued a warning urging the public to choose different types of lettuce for salads for now that do not contain romaine. Jean Halloran, Director of Food Policy Initiatives at Consumers Union, the policy division of Consumer Reports, says, "The available data strongly suggests that romaine lettuce is the source of the U.S. outbreak." She has called for the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, to take action to protect the public. Simply washing lettuce is not enough to get rid of E. coli if the lettuce is contaminated by waste from an animal or person working in fields or a packing plant. Canadian officials recommend that consumers avoid using any romaine lettuce purchased in the last 5 weeks. Also, be sure to read ingredient labels on mixed salad bags to avoid any containing romaine. E. coli can cause severe fever and severe digestive tract symptoms that can begin 3 to 10 days after eating contaminated food. In rare cases, E. coli can lead to kidney failure that may cause paleness, extreme fatigue, or even death. Anyone with severe symptoms that last more than 3 days is advised to see their doctor.
This is John Fistier with an education report. Two key hearings this month could determine the future of students in Alpine. On Thursday, January 11th, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals heard oral arguments in an appeal of a lawsuit filed by Alpine taxpayers and the Alpine Union High School District against the Grossmont Union High School District. At stake are funds from two bond measures that Alpine parents want to see used to build the high school that the Grossmont Board has declined to build. A lower court judge initially dismissed the case, but the Court of Appeals reinstated it. The lower court judge then ruled against Alpine. The three-judge panel from the Court of Appeals that heard oral arguments Thursday included two judges who previously ruled in Alpine's favor. On Friday, January 19th, the California State Board of Education will hold a hearing in Sacramento to consider a unification petition that proposes to form a new Alpine Unified School District that would include the Alpine Union Elementary School District and a portion of the Grossmont District. Parents' hope is that if a unified district is approved, the new district could ultimately build a high school in Alpine. In a troubling turn for Alpine students and parents, the State Department of Education has recommended that the State Board of Education deny the unification petition, or alternatively, postpone action until after all litigation has been completed in court, a process that could possibly take years. By contrast, the San Diego County Board of School District Reorganization earlier voted to recommend approval of the unification petition. The Department of Education cited inconsistencies in data and pending legislation as reasons why it recommended not approving the unification proposal at this time. Alpine parents twice voted for bond measures, Propositions H and U, believing that these funds would be used in part to build an Alpine high school. But the Grossmont Board majority reneged, claiming enrollment triggers had not been met, a contention that supporters of the high school dispute. Instead, bond funds were used to fund projects at other schools, including some projects not listed in the bonds. The San Diego County Grand Jury, in a scathing report, recommended that Grossmont set a firm timetable to build the Alpine High School on land that the district had acquired for that purpose, or turn over the money to the Alpine Union School District so that it could unify and build the school. Grossmont's board did neither, flagrantly ignoring the grand jury's recommendations. So, Alpine residents filed suit to get a portion of bond funds turned over, also launching their unification petition to break away from the Grossmont district. Alpine parents contend it is unfair for their children's safety to be put at risk driving long distances on icy roads in winter, noting that in the past, students have died commuting to other district schools. Long commutes also make it difficult for Alpine students to participate in extracurricular activities, such as sports. But now the safety and future educational opportunities for Alpine students are up to the courts and the State Board of Education.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Miriam Raftery with a People Power report. Firefighters from the San Miguel Fire District have set up a GoFundMe page to help the Howers, a family of 20 in El Cajon, including many adopted children with disabilities. A fire outside the family's home on January 7th damaged two vehicles, including a specialized van used to transport youngsters with medical needs. Penny Hauer says she and her 80-year-old husband awoke to hear a huge explosion and saw flames shooting into the sky. The Hauers have adopted over 21 people in the past 40 years, including disabled children and disabled adults who had trouble finding families and homes.
Fortunately, all 20 people in the home on Willow Road in the Rancho San Diego area of El Cajon managed to escape the fire safely, despite the fact that several are in wheelchairs and smoke alarms were not working. Three blind dogs were also evacuated safely after Penny Hauer wrapped towels around their collars to lead them out when she couldn't find their leashes. Besides destroying a car and heavily damaging the van, smoke and flames also caused some damage to the family's home. San Miguel Fire and Rescue Battalion Chief Andy Lawler says it's very fortunate that everyone got out safely. He came back the next day to see how he could assist this remarkable family. So far, the GoFundMe page for the Hauers family, for the Hauer family, spelled H-A-U-E-R, has raised over $11,000 toward a goal of $100,000 to replace or restore all of the damaged items needed by the family that has given so generously to help so many others through the years.
This is Meridian Broaddus with a public service announcement from the Grossmont Healthcare District. The district is seeking nominees for its 2018 Healthcare Heroes Awards. Now in its 12th year, the Healthcare Heroes Awards program recognizes volunteers who advance the delivery of quality health services in the East County region. Volunteers are a significant part of care teams in local health organizations, working alongside doctors, nurses, community health workers, neighborhood navigators, community paramedics, and pharmacists to address the community's medical and social needs. Nominees may include any individual volunteer or volunteers of organizations who demonstrate selfless dedication beyond their paid duties. Michael Emerson, Grossmont Healthcare District Board President, says the purpose of the Healthcare Heroes Awards is to recognize volunteers whose unsung work in healthcare might not otherwise be celebrated. We solicit the assistance of all East County residents in nominating their peers so we can recognize their commitment to care and inspire others, he adds. Some examples of volunteers eligible for nomination include healthcare educators, volunteer transportation providers, health professionals, first responders, community clinic volunteers, pastoral caregivers, grant writers, members of service clubs, members of policy or advocacy organizations, auxiliary members, and healthcare-related youth volunteers. Nominees from prior years are eligible to be nominated again if they were not previously selected. The 2017 winners included a camp counselor with a big and new heart thanks to a transplant, a woman who drives seniors to doctor appointments, an 83-year-old retired psychologist, a new U.S. citizen from Iraq, and a 17-year-old high school student. Deadline for submission of entries is 3 p.m. on Friday, March 9th. Entries can be submitted online through the GHD website at grossmonthealthcare.org or by clicking on Operations and Events or call 619-825-5050.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Green Scene Report. Just days after Trump's Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, announced plans to open up 98% of our nation's coastlines to offshore oil drilling and fracking, Zinke said he is removing Florida off of that list, stating, "I support the governor's position that Florida is unique and its coasts are heavily reliant on tourism as an economic driver." Several state governors have objected to having oil drilling and gas exploration off their coasts, including Jerry Brown, governor of California, where the economy is also dependent on tourism. Are the Trump administration's actions partisan, or perhaps does the president have a conflict of interest? Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort is located on the Florida coastline. The announcement to withdraw Florida from consideration for offshore drilling comes right after liberal activist and media personality Michael Moore tweeted, "Our fracking off the coast of Mar-a-Lago begins right after Labor Day. I've already got the rig, a beautiful Halliburton G0008 fracking system with a monster caterpillar engine." Moore accompanied his tweet with an image of a huge red fracking rig, adding, "The oil we drill just off your beach will pay for our entire show, and any spills, we're going to let the people of Florida keep whatever they collect for free." President Trump has said he wants to open up virtually all of the shorelines off the east and west coasts, as well as the Gulf Coast and Alaska, to drilling and fracking in order to help make America energy independent. But according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, as of 2016, the last year records are available for, domestic energy production already supplied 88% of America's energy consumed. With increased reliance on renewable energy sources such as wind and solar, the nation is already on track to diminish or eliminate America's need for foreign oil, even without opening up nearly all of the nation's coastlines to oil drilling, an action that could have devastating consequences if a major disaster such as the Deepwater Horizon explosion or the oil spill off Santa Barbara should occur again.
This is John Fistier with a health alert. The County Department of Environmental Health has issued an advisory warning to swimmers, surfers, and other ocean users to avoid activities in coastal waters for at least 72 hours or 3 days after the recent storms. This includes all coastal beaches as well as Mission Bay and San Diego Bay. Bacteria levels can rise significantly in ocean and bay waters, especially near storm drains, creeks, rivers, and lagoon outlets that discharge urban runoff. Urban runoff may contain large amounts of bacteria from a variety of sources, such as animal waste, soil, and decomposing vegetation. For updates on beach closure information, you can visit sdbeachinfo.com or call the 24-hour hotline at 619-338-2073. That's 619-338-2073.
County supervisors have unanimously voted Kristen Gaspar as the new chairwoman. East County Supervisor Diane Jacob, who served as chair last year and 5 times previously, will serve as vice chairwoman in 2018, and Supervisor Greg Cox will be chairman pro tem. In handing over the gavel to Gaspar, Supervisor Jacob outlined accomplishments in the past year, including adding muscle to rural fire and emergency services, adding the Tell Us Now cell phone app for residents to report potholes, price gouging, and other non-emergencies, and giving more students access to a camp that works to improve relations between teenagers and law enforcement. The county also faced challenges in 2017, including the hepatitis emergency, a homelessness crisis, and the lilac fire. As the new chairwoman, Gaspar will outline the county's 2018 goals at the annual State of the County Address on February 27th. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Flying the friendly skies may not be so friendly after all. Female travelers report instances of sexual harassment and abuse in mid-air by other passengers. According to an investigative report by CNN, 4 women gave detailed accounts on how they were touched inappropriately or groped on commercial flights. Each of the women reported their incident to the flight attendant, but felt as if they were not being taken seriously. Ayanna Hart, one of the featured women in the CNN report, claims that she was a passenger on a Delta flight when an intoxicated man repeatedly grabbed her. Hart says she felt the flight crew member was dismissive of her concerns. Hart is suing Delta Airlines for failure to take better control of the situation and continuing to serve the man alcohol. A representative for the airline did not comment on the case, but did state it takes these incidents seriously and with law enforcement investigates them. The president of the Association of Flight Attendants urges airlines to come up with better policies and procedures to help safeguard not only passengers who complain of sexual harassment, but crew members as well. It is uncertain how often mid-air sexual harassment takes place, but according to the FBI, there has been a 66% increase into mid-air assaults investigations stemming from 2014 to 2017. Airlines for America represents the United States airline industry and claims that the safety and security of passengers is the priority. If you have been a victim of mid-air sexual assault, contact the Federal Aviation Administration and your local law enforcement. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Meridian Broaddus.
There's a lot happening at San Diego State, which recently celebrated its 120th anniversary. Here are some of the top news stories to watch for from SDSU in the new year. In 2018, the university hopes to expand its campus in Mission Valley, including a new stadium for the Aztecs, professional soccer and other sports, as well as classrooms, research buildings, a river park, housing for students and workers, retail stores, hotels, and a conference center. The original SDSU campus is getting a new engineering and interdisciplinary sciences building set to open this year, where researchers will work on solving some of society's greatest challenges, including climate change, water quality, and medical issues. The new complex will also include the campus's first MRI imaging machine to help researchers study the brain to seek solutions to conditions such as Alzheimer's and autism. The top job on campus is open, and the big question is, who will fill it? The search is underway for a new college president, following the departure of Elliot Hirschman. SDSU has only had 10 presidents since 1898. Students and faculty are eagerly awaiting the announcement of number 11. San Diego State also has a new drone lab that opened last year and seeks to partner in 2018 with industry in the San Diego area to become a regional asset, researching issues such as drone safety protocols and more. Campus researchers are also investigating innovative ideas for cleaning up polluted waterways, including the San Diego River through Mission Valley. Plus, Dr. Jean Twenge in the psychology department plans to publish major research papers this year on the iGen, the first generation spending their entire adolescences in the age of the smartphone. An entrepreneurship program is working on projects in 2018, including an app to help homeless people living in vans, a transportation option for children in our region, a program for teachers to grade papers with artificial intelligence, and a skateboard tool to fix skateboards on the go. In sports, keep an eye on Aztec Xander Schauffele, who is named PGA Tour Rookie of the Year and is ranked 25th worldwide after wins at the PGA Tour Championship and other major tournaments. Also watch Genevieve Perez, a slugger who has shattered many batting records and became the fourth Aztec to be named a National Fast Pitch Coaches Association All-American. She was named Mountain West Player of the Year with a .454 batting average. SDSU is also active in a cross-border wellness project, a student-run business delivering produce to food deserts where access to healthy fruits and vegetables is limited. The university also plans major arts events, including performances with the San Diego Symphony and a collaboration with the San Diego Opera. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Gene Carpenter with a Crime Beat report. Brian Hinkle, the suspect in the shooting death of Samantha Hayes Benegas, has died. Sheriff's deputies were called to the scene on Del Amo Road in Ramona on January the 3rd after a caller reported a murder-suicide, then hung up. Deputies found 22-year-old Samantha Benegas dead at the home. An El Cajon resident, she had been honored as a 2013-14 Barona Powwow Princess. Hinkle, who was 35 years old, was airlifted to a hospital, but has since died of his self-inflicted gunshot wounds, said Lieutenant Rich Williams with the sheriff's homicide detail.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes the trout season reopener at Santee Lakes, pianist John Nielsen in Descanso, the lore of the Kumeyaay at the Water Conservation Garden, full moon fishing at Lake Jennings, the Mousetrap on stage in La Mesa, a Martin Luther King commemoration in Lemon Grove, and hawk-watching events in Ramona and Santa Isabel.
Plus, we'll have coming attractions, including a local author's expo at the El Cajon Library, more author appearances in Julian and Rancho San Diego, live music by bands and soloists at Riviera Supper Club and San Pasqual Winery in La Mesa, a 50-kilometer race and active lifestyle expo in Santee, the Oak Ridge Boys at Sequan, a Chamber Music Society concert and a jazz performance in La Mesa, a concert by the Martin Luther King Choir Ensemble in Lemon Grove, a star party at Mission Trails, and Seussical the Musical in Spring Valley.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Attention fishing fans! Santee Lakes will host its trout season reopener on January 13th and 14th. The lakes will be stocked with 2,000 pounds of rainbow trout, and you're invited to come drop a line. For more information, you can visit SanteeLakes.com.
Acclaimed pianist, guitarist, vocalist, and songwriter John Nielsen will perform a solo piano concert on Saturday, January 13th at 2 p.m. at Chapel of the Hills Community Church in Descanso. A reception to meet the artist will be held after the performance. Nielsen is one of the Pacific Northwest's most successful artists, with records that have sold over 1 million copies. His love of the outdoors is reflected in many of his works. Chosen as a Deering Banjo Artist in 2016, he has performed in all 50 states and many foreign countries. For more information on John Nielsen and his work, you can see johnnielsen.com. That's N-I-L-S-E-N. For directions to the January 13th concert in Descanso, you can visit chapelofthehills.org.
The Water Conservation Garden will present The Lore of the Kumeyaay on January 13th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. You can learn about the Native Americans who have inhabited San Diego County for over 10,000 years. Jan Tubiolo, longtime student of Kumeyaay culture, will teach about the history, spirituality, and daily lifestyle of the Kumeyaay, displaying tools and other items that were important to their lives. Students should bring a cushion or blanket to sit on, and in case of rain, the program will be moved indoors. For more information, you can visit thegarden.org.
You're invited to fish by the light of a full moon on Saturday, January 13th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Lake Jennings in Lakeside. The lake is stocked with trout, bass, bluegill, and sunfish. For more information, you can visit lakejennings.org.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa will present Agatha Christie's classic mystery, The Mousetrap, from January 13th through February 4th. A terrible snowstorm traps a group of strangers in a quaint boarding house. To everyone's horror, it soon becomes clear that a murderer is hiding among them. This thrilling whodunit by Agatha Christie, author of so many classic English murder mysteries, is known for its unpredictable ending. Can you pinpoint the murderer before the characters do? The original production of The Mousetrap on London's West End has now been running continuously for 61 years, during which period it's been performed more than 25,000 times, making it the most popular whodunit of all time and the longest-running show of any type in the modern era. For tickets and details, visit lamplighterslamesa.com.
A celebration commemorating Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., And Honoring Local Civil Rights Leaders will be held on January 19th at 7 p.m. at the Lemon Grove Community Church in Lemon Grove. For tickets and information on the honorees, you can visit the National Action Network San Diego website at nansd.net.
The Wildlife Research Institute invites you to Hawk Watch. Each Saturday in January and February at 10 a.m., visitors can see birds of prey such as hawks, eagles, and owls. Sponsored by the Wildlife Research Institute, this year Hawk Watch will not be held at the Institute's headquarters, but instead at Beegent Ranch, a private ranch open only for Hawk Watch events. Guests are advised to arrive a half hour early for parking, bring binoculars, and enjoy coffee and donuts before viewing the raptors that make their homes in the Ramona grasslands. For more information, you can visit wildlife-research.org.
Master Falconer Cisco Clyborne will present a falconry demonstration at Winola Pizza each Saturday in January from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Guests will see interactive flights and educational demonstrations with hawks and falcons. You can watch a peregrine falcon swoop from the sky to a lure, observe other falcons fly to a drone, and experience interactive flights with two Harris hawks who fly to the fist of a falconry glove. You can also take up-close and personal photos with those raptors.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Diana Lindsay, author of the new guidebook Anza Borrego Desert Region, will be speaking and signing copies of her book at two upcoming appearances in East County. She'll be at the Julian Library January 20th at 10:30 a.m. and at the Rancho San Diego Library on January 23rd at 6:30 p.m.
Fingerstyle guitarist Jim Earp will perform at the San Pasquale Winery Tasting Room in La Mesa Village on January 20th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. He'll be playing original music in a style that blends Hawaiian slack key with Celtic guitar, also singing popular folk rock favorites such as songs by Neil Young and James Taylor. Wine, cheese, and dessert are available for purchase in the winery's cozy back room. For more information, visit sanpasqualewinery.com.
The City of Santee will host a national 50-kilometer race-walk championship on January 20th, along with the Santee Active Lifestyle Expo aimed at promoting health and fitness. The expo will be at the Trolley Square Shopping Center from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. with activities for kids and adults. Before the expo, spectators can watch the USA Track and Field National Championship Race Walk Competition with Olympic-caliber athletes walking faster than most people can run. The race will take place on Town Center Parkway and Riverview Drive from 7:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The winner of the 50-kilometer race walk, that's over 31 miles, will receive an $8,000 prize. A Kids Fit Fun Zone will feature a climbing wall, obstacle course, and giant fitness board game. BMX professionals will fly through the air on a half-pipe ramp. In addition, nearly 50 vendor booths will have samples, info, health, and wellness tips. Attendees who wear fitness attire and athletic shoes can try out a different fitness class every 30 minutes on the amphitheater stage. And they can also run through the Extreme Fit obstacle course with more than 200 feet of inflatable obstacles and firefighter challenges. More information and a list of the fitness classes can be found at cityofsantee.gov.
You're invited to join the La Mesa Conversations leadership and your neighbors at a no-host coffee on Saturday, January 20th at 9 a.m. at Lightbulb Coffee in La Mesa. Everyone is welcome at this event to discuss upcoming events and panels on healthcare, homelessness, and education. To RSVP and get more information, visit lamesaconversations.org.
Sapsat C, the local Laurel and Hardy fan club, will present their 40th anniversary Saps Funtastical Gathering of Film and Food on January 27th at 7 p.m. at Trinity Presbyterian Church in Spring Valley. The Saps will present a Tex Avery cartoon, and then Russ Peck will play a live music score for the silent gem, We Fall Down. More comedy films will follow, as well as a surprise look at some special events and guests greeting the Saps in 2018 to start the 40th year off in a hilarious way.
The El Cajon Library will host its third local author expo on Sunday, January 28th at 2 p.m., featuring presentations by three local authors and a reception afterwards where attendees may meet the authors, buy books, and enjoy refreshments. The authors featured include Wainajiru Wurama, a La Mesa resident and author of Unexpected America, a memoir of her experience coming to America after growing up as the daughter of peasants on a farm in colonial Kenya. Carrie Thompson, a San Diego author of young adult fiction, also writes adult fiction under the pseudonym Callie Lanford. Roger Conley, a former reporter for the San Diego Evening Tribune, has authored 7 historical novels, including his latest, Deep Water, a political thriller that takes place during the early days of the Cold War.
The Oak Ridge Boys, who were recently inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, will perform on Saturday, February 3rd at 5 p.m. in Saquon's Live and Up Close Theater in El Cajon. Their 4-part harmonies and upbeat songs have won many awards, including a Grammy, Country Music Association, and American Country Music Awards, and they're still going strong after more than 40 years. For tickets, you can visit saquon.com.
Bruce and Beverly Dorsey with the San Diego Chamber Music Society will perform a concert with piano and horn at the La Mesa Library on February 10th at 1 p.m. The La Mesa Library hosts free concerts on the second Saturday of each month, thanks to support from Friends of La Mesa Library.
San Pasquale Winery Tasting Room in La Mesa's downtown village will host live music by Stage 4 Jazz on February 17th at 7 p.m. Stage 4 is a dynamic group with a repertoire that spans jazz, rhythm and blues, and more. You can learn about Stage 4 at stage4entertainment.com and visit San Pasquale Winery's website at sanpasqualewinery.com.
The Martin Luther King Jr. Community Choir of San Diego's Ensemble will be performing gospel and inspirational songs at the Lemon Grove Library on Saturday, February 17th at 2 p.m. The ensemble's music celebrates the history of Negro spirituals, aspiring to be inspirational and uplifting. For more information, you can visit the musical group's website at mlkccsd.org.
View the Andromeda Galaxy, the Orion Nebula, and other celestial sights during the Star Party at Mission Trails Regional Park on Saturday, February 17th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Amateur astronomer and trail guide George Varga will have a telescope available for viewing the night sky at the far end of the Kumeyaay Lake Campground's day-use parking lot. Learn more at mtrp.org.
Young Actors Theater will present Seussical, the musical, at the Encore Theater in the Casa de Oro area of Spring Valley from February 22nd through March 4th. The musical production brings to life your favorite Dr. Seuss characters, from the Cat in the Hat to Horton the Elephant. For tickets, visit yatsandiego.org.
Riviera Supper Club in La Mesa has live bands on stage in the Turquoise Room most nights throughout February and March. Upcoming Saturday night headliners include Baja Bugs, Ron and the Reapers, Gino and the Lone Gunman, Black Market 111, Shark Jones, and Vinyl Pirates. For a full list of entertainment, you can visit RivieraSupperClub.com.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you'd like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
Welcome to Vines and Wines on the East County Magazine Show, bringing you news to savor about our region's fast-growing winemaking industry. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Vines and Wines, a report just released by the San Diego County Vintners Association on the economic value of wineries in San Diego County shows that the burgeoning winemaking industry is having a potent effect. In 2016, the county's 116 wineries generated a regional impact of over $30 million and supported 697 local jobs. San Diego now ranks 5th statewide in total wine licenses, behind only Napa, Sonoma, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara counties. Our region has surpassed Riverside County, home to Temecula's well-known wine region. From 2015 to 2016, wine sales in San Diego County grew by 88%. Wineries here generated nearly $24 million in gross sales in 2016, which generated $1.1 million in sales taxes for the county and nearly $1 million more in property taxes. The report looked at growth in wineries from 2010 through 2016 to assess the impacts of a landmark county winery ordinance passed in 2010 and amended in 2016, which eliminated the need for most wineries to obtain costly major use permits. During that time span, San Diego County's wine grape crop value has more than quadrupled to $4.2 million, while total acres of wine grapes harvested has more than doubled. Most local wineries are new, taking root in the last 3 years, although wine growing here dates back to Father Junipero Serra and the Spanish missionaries in the 1700s. Though growing fast, most local wineries remain small, with 57% producing less than 1,000 cases of wine in 2016 and just 13% of them producing over 2,500 cases. By contrast, in Temecula, 62% of the wineries there produce between 5,000 and 49,000 cases. Only 8% produced less than 1,000. San Diego County vintners are using over 45 different grape varietals to produce their wines, with an average of more than 8 per winery. The most popular grapes grown locally include these reds, Cabernet Sauvignon, Syrah, Sangiovese, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Zinfandel, Malbec, and Petite Syrah. The most popular whites locally produced are Viognier and Sauvignon Blanc. While the outlook of wineries that participated in the survey here was positive overall, some cited potential impediments to attaining maximum potential. Asked to name their priority issues, wine growers cited permits and local regulation, followed by labor costs and groundwater runoff rules. One area where marketing could boost sales further is tourism. Winery owners who responded to the association's survey reported that 27% of their sales in 2016 were due to tourism. As far back as 2013, before most local wineries had even opened their doors, the San Diego Tourism Authority's visitor survey profile found that wine tasting ranked in the top 15 activities among all visitors to our region, after other popular activities such as theme parks, beaches, and sightseeing. Wineries are also popular with local residents who enjoy tasting or simply appreciate the economic boost that the wine industry is having on areas such as Ramona, a hub for wine enthusiasts. A whopping 94% of winery owners locally surveyed said that wine tourism and wineries are appreciated and publicly supported by residents. Only 3% believed industry tourism was unwelcome and actively opposed. That strong support is in contrast to most other wine regions nationally and statewide. For instance, a 2016 survey of annual wine conditions done by Silicon Valley Bank found only 40% of winery owners thought their industry was both appreciated and publicly supported by locals. San Diego's burgeoning wine business has no doubt benefited from the earlier boom in craft brewing, which has made San Diego a top market nationally for the craft beer brewing industry and shown the potent economic punch that such activity can ferment for our region. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.